Good morning, all. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy, whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary. So glad you joined us for a little bit of your spring Sunday morning. If you are joining us on a screen, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion right after the message, so be sure you've got some juice and some bread handy. You know, in this series, we are trying to find the peace of mind that comes from God, because there are so many of us that are burned out, we're stressed out, we're exhausted, we're completely overwhelmed. We're just done, and frankly, we are not okay. We're trying to discover and to rediscover that God is my peace. Say it with me. God is my peace. Again. God is my peace. Again. God is my peace. You know, there were many times in my role as clergy that I found myself anxious and stressed and overwhelmed. I'm sure we've all experienced this at some point in work or just in our everyday running around lives. I would think back to my days as a pastor on a college campus and things I would deal with regularly, stuff like this. Are we ever going to fundraise enough money to take these 40 students on a mission trip? Are we going to find the next group of ministry leaders because they keep wanting to graduate, so you got to find new leaders every year? Will God help me generate content for sermons and guest speakers week after week? Can I get my college course prepped to teach it with quality among all the other things that I'm supposed to be doing? And can I manage being a new church planter and a campus pastor at the same time, preaching two different sermons every single week, guiding two different leadership teams to two different outcomes? You want sustainable faith from college students and a sustainable community church in a new church. By the way, I do not recommend having two full-time jobs at once. It is not healthy. Maybe that might not be radical news for you. When I made the move to just do one full-time job, the amount of anxiety and stress that came off me was incredible. Now, you may have heard well-meaning Christians tell you or tell others that Christians shouldn't be anxious. They'll tell you that it says it right in the Bible. The Bible tells you to don't be anxious about anything, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank God for all God has done. I mean, is it really practical to live like with no anxiety or no worries at all? I mean, have you seen the state of the world today? Open up your news feed, turn on your favorite TV station. The world is falling apart and no one seems to like each other at all. Economists can't decide if we're entering a recession or not. Grocery prices have come down a bit, but we ask, will they stay that way? Gas prices are slowly creeping up again. We can find so many things to be anxious about. In 2019, before the pandemic, 2 out of every 3 Americans were extremely anxious before the pandemic. Now, those numbers have only gotten worse. The frequency, the intensity that people are experiencing anxiety have hit record levels, especially for younger generations. One study showed that 91% of high school students and college-age people, 91% reported consistent and significant levels of anxiety connected with stress. Anxiety might be the most common and prolific mental health issue of our day. How can God give us peace with the anxiety that we deal with? Because God is my peace. Say it with me. God is my peace. Now, we all have different levels of anxiety, and we find ourselves on different points of this anxiety spectrum. Now, for some, it's really very occasionally we deal with anxiety in our life. It's situational. It might be around a presentation we have to give at work or at school, or it might just be a social situation that makes us feel awkward and uncomfortable every time we enter the same situation. Now, this anxiety is just situational. We get through it, and it's not really significant. For others of us, anxiety can be incredibly debilitating. We might have this constant sense of dread with us. We might have shortness of breath. You might feel your heart rate rising, feel like the walls are closing in, that you cannot function normally. Now, however you might experience anxiety, whether it's situational or in a chronic way, please hear me this morning that God cares. God cares deeply. God wants to help. God wants to bring peace of mind to you because God is my peace. Say it with me. God is my peace. Now this morning, we're going to spend time with one of the ancient kings of Israel. You find in the Old Testament in your Bible, King Jehoshaphat. He was the fourth king of Judah in the southern kingdom of Israel. Now the kings of Israel as a whole, they were not great. You can read in your Bible about all these old kings of Israel, and so often you read, such and such king lived for this many years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. You read this over and over again, but not King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a good, godly king. We will soon be in 2 Chronicles 20 today, if you want to follow along in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. Now, the country of Judah, at this moment in history, did not have one army attacking them, did not have two armies attacking them, but three. Three armies are coming for them at once. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Menuhites. Three different groups are going to attack at the same time. Now, we can understand just a little of what King Jehoshaphat is feeling. These compounding stressors, one after the other after the other. We know the effect of things piling onto us. You know, we can handle one difficult boss, but when then your car breaks down, causes financial issues, that causes stress in your relationship, and you just started to change how you eat, but someone brought donuts to work, and now people are wondering why you've broken down staring at a box of donuts that morning. Because it wasn't really about the donuts, it was about everything piled into your life. And the donuts just happened to be the straw that broke the anxiety camel's back. Stressors pile up for the youngest among us, too. One reason our college-age folks and young adults are some of the most anxious is that they have the least clear path to success. We've got an overeducated and an underemployed group that's falling behind with record inflation. They can't buy a home, so they postpone. If they're choosing to get married, they're delaying getting married, and they postpone. They fall further and further behind. Will they ever catch up? Even our children are feeling more anxiety. And then you've got Christians telling other Christians you shouldn't feel anxious. The Bible tells you not to feel that, and that doesn't help anybody. It's like they're telling you, what are you doing feeling stuff? You're supposed to be feeling joy all the time. So then we're feeling guilt and shame piled on top of our anxiety and stress. Friends, anxiety is not a sin. Anxiety is not a sin. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before the cross on Good Friday, prayed for the cup to pass from him, for all that was about to occur, praying in deep, deep, anguishing agony and anxiety. Jesus prayed for it to be taken, but ultimately, he said, God's will be done. Anxiety is not a sin. It is a signal. It is a symptom. Now, you've all seen warning lights on the car, and when the warning light comes on, we know something needs to be addressed. One day, a while back, I was driving my car down the road, and all of a sudden, just in normal driving, every single warning light came on the car. I'm like, well, this is not good. There were lights on there in my almost 30 years of driving I've never seen before. Like, what does this even mean? Now, when the light comes on in your car, we know what to do. We don't throw it away and get a new one. We take it to the expert, we take it to the mechanic, and we try to figure out what's wrong. Now, in my case, when all those lights came on, I thought, you know, so much of a car is computerized now. What would happen if I just turned it off and back on again? And sure enough, that fixed it. That fixed it, and it hasn't happened again for a couple of years. Now, in our own lives, when we talk about anxiety, never underestimate turning yourself off and back on again, the restorative power and the clarity that a nap can bring. Sometimes a nap can absolutely help. But when we experience anxiety, when the signal light in our life comes on and it's not going off, it's time for us to do things. And it's time for us to do three things, much like King Jehoshaphat did. So when the anxiety light is on, the first thing we do, it's time to pray. It is time to pray. King Jehoshaphat is terrified. He's alarmed. Three armies bearing down on him. And so in verse 6, he prays this. O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. and you are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple, where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. The people prayed and they fasted. They asked God for help. When you feel anxious, when you feel overwhelmed, when you don't know what to do, you can cry out to God just like King Jehoshaphat did. And you can do it in fancy traditional language like this, or keep it simple and brutally honest and pray, God, help. God, I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. I don't know how to deal with this. I feel alone. I can't get out. Prayer not only connects us to God's heart, but also physically changes us. It changes how our brain works. One neuroscientist found in her research, just 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over 8 weeks changes the brain to an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. 12 minutes of prayer over 8 weeks, and your doctor can scan your brain and see something has absolutely changed about it. It can literally change the way our brains look. Doctors call this neuroplasticity. We mentioned this last week when we talked about when we think thoughts over and over again, our brains find ways to access those thoughts even more quickly. We can make ourselves more anxious because we dwell on the anxious thoughts and not on the positive or more hopeful ones. We're ruminating. We're spinning through all the possible bad and worst outcomes of any situation. We're spinning our wheels in the mud. We humans have the power to catastrophize any situation. And we just might be training all those neural pathways in our brain to keep accessing the negative, anxious thoughts. Prayer can break the power of anxiety in our lives. It takes our minds off of what we're afraid of, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Prayer just doesn't just touch the heart of God. It also changes our brain. Anxiety is not a sin. You are normal. You are normal if you feel anxious. Anxiety is a signal. Take it to God and take your anxiety to the professionals who can help. King Jehoshaphat takes it to God, and he prays very honestly in verse 12. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking for you to help. I love that honesty. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. I'm not strong enough. I don't have what it takes, but I'm keeping my eyes focused on you. Lord, I need you. God, I'm training my mind to think about you. God, I'm looking at your character. I'm looking at your goodness, your nature, your power. God, I'm believing that you are with me, that by faith you're going to work all things for good because I love you and I know I'm called according to your purpose. God, I can't handle it all. You might pray, God, I'm freaking out here. I can't hold it together. I don't know where to turn. No human being can handle this. And friends, you weren't designed to handle this on your own. Anxiety is not a sin. It's a sign you need God and others to help. 1 Peter reminds us, give all of your worries. Give all of your cares to God, for God cares about you. God, I can't handle all the tension in the world. I don't know what I'm going to do about my future. Should I stay with this job, with this person? God, all the things I've got, here it is. Here's all of my worries, my anxieties. God, I'm giving them to you because you care for me and I need your help. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever worries and anxieties, if it is big enough to worry about, it is big enough to pray about. If it's big enough for you to worry about, it is big enough for you to pray about. Pray, give your worries to God. Give your cares to God because God cares deeply for you. Anxiety is not a sin. It's a signal it is time to pray. And then we move full speed and take control, right? Full speed, take control, we figure it out and solve the problem. Well, at least that's how I roll. There's a problem, so let's fix it. Now, no, actually, King Jehoshaphat, after he prays, it's time to pause. He pauses. After the king prays, they just stood there. Three armies closing in on them, they just stood there for a bit. That would drive me, and I'm guessing some of you all as well, that are achievers and movers and shakers, just crazy. Three armies are coming at us, we're just standing here. What good is this gonna do? We gotta do something. We need to take our anxious energy and channel it somewhere. What good is just standing here gonna do? We want to pray and do something. We want to pray and go. But sometimes God says, don't do something, just stand there. Don't do something, just stay right there. Be still. Direct your prayers, direct your eyes to God, and just stand there. That's counterintuitive, especially for us achievers, for us movers, for us that want to do something. It's just really difficult just to sit there and wait. But with our anxiety, as we wait, as we pause, God does things. We might ask, does God heal us of our anxiety in prayer as we give it over to God? Maybe. I mean, that's possible. But in my experience, anxiety is healed in a process over time. God might direct us to a Bible verse to help. Or God directs us to a professional to change our diet so the full chemistry in our body works better. Or we work with a doctor to find a prescription to normalize chemicals in our brain. We do deep therapy with a counselor and a therapist to dig into the trauma we've experienced. Maybe it's cognitive behavioral therapy to retrain our brain. Whatever it is, we take it to God, and in the pause, in this pause, we do the work that needs to be done to address the signal that's on in our lives. As the Israelites are waiting, someone in this group, as they're standing there and just waiting, they get a word from God. And this person says, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. If you find yourself with us today in the sanctuary or on the screen, this very well might be God's word for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged that this army is in front of you, the anxiety that you're feeling. The battle is not yours, but God's. So go out and face it tomorrow. God is with you. God's for you. God loves you. God cares for you. God's power is real. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. And we give God praise. Anxiety is not a sin. It is a signal that it is time for us to pray. It is time for us to pause. And it is time for us to praise. After the king and the people receive this word, this is what they do. King Jehoshaphat bows low with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. They praised God for all God had done in the past and for what God was about to do in the future. Now, they didn't just praise God after the victory, but they praised God before the victory. Did you catch that? It's easy to praise God after God does something, but before? Praising God before all our anxiety is managed and gone? That is hard. It's hard to take faith in that moment when you're hurting now, when you don't know what to do, when you don't see a way out. It takes faith, some deep faith, to praise before the anxiety is managed, before the blessing occurs. As that anxiety light comes on in our lives, praise is a critical component in addition to pausing and praying. Praising God for a future where anxiety is managed and under control before it is, that's a powerful act of faith. Now, next in the story, something interesting in the realm of warfare happens. King Jehoshaphat sends out the first team to go to this enemy army, and he sends out the worship team. He sends out the musicians first into battle. So there goes the flautist and the piano player and the vocalist and the acoustic guitar player and the drummer. Go fight. That's strange, right? This would not have been my first move as a commander on the battlefield. And yet a miracle happens. As all these worshipers arrive to these three armies, the three armies that were going to attack Israel, they attack each other. These armies attack each other, wipe each other out. They destroyed themselves as the worship leaders approached that position. The Israelites win. They win the day, and this is how the story concludes. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Today, many of us bump up against the language, the fear of God, because we rightly see God as approachable and available in Jesus. We would say today that the awe, the respect of God came over all the nations. And of course it does, because their three armies were just wiped out. Israel was rescued by God's actions. The result of their praying, pausing, and praising led this terrified and anxious king to find peace and to find rest. It was not easy. It took work. It took time. It took leaning on God and the community of faith, addressing that anxiety signal in his life through prayer, through pausing, and through praising. As I've been working with my counselor and doctor and God over the past few months, I've learned and have been reminded of various breathing techniques with prayer to help my anxiety return to a baseline. And it's been a journey. It's not been a quick process. It's not been healed overnight. But I can absolutely say God has given me more times of rest since last November than before because I've accessed the resources, I've accessed the people that God has put around me to help. Almost 10 years ago now, I was in my office behind a closed door doing the campus pastor thing, and I was preparing to lead worship about 20 minutes later. And at the same time, I've been working to try to get this new church plant off of the ground. Again, two full-time jobs at once, not a good idea. Someone called at that moment and had not kind words for me and the stuff that I was doing. Leading through change, that can be pretty tough on some people. So after that phone call, I hung up, and the worries, the anxieties, the stress had piled up to such a point that I found myself openly weeping in my office. And just at that moment, a colleague, a friend, walked in the door and asked, "Are you okay?" There is one correct answer to that question at that moment. And so I told him, "No, clearly no, I am not." But I was able to get through worship service with God and with the team's help that we had. Now, I called another friend later to talk about that moment. And after I finished, he did not respond that Christians don't experience anxiety. He did not respond that I should only feel joy. After I told him about my little breakdown, he simply responded, "Good." I said, "Good. What you're doing is hard. It is difficult. It's not easy. You're a human being that feels and need to let yourself experience that and then turn it over to God." Friends, we all experience stress. We all experience anxiety. It's a part of being what it means to be human in this place. Anxiety is normal. It is natural. It's okay to feel it. It is not a sin. It is a sign that it is time to pray, it is time to pause, and it is time to praise. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God and get the help you need to process your anxiety. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask that in your presence, you would do a healing work in us today, that you'd renew our minds. We ask for healing. We ask for your goodness, and we ask for your peace of mind. We pray believing and knowing you hear our prayers and that you have the power to change our minds and our hearts with your comfort, your presence, and your peace. We pray this with boldness and power and strength in your resurrected name. Amen.